You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. It's time to get ready for the Bills' next opponent, the Kansas City Chiefs. And folks, this is exactly what you should want. This is exactly what the Buffalo Bills should want. The opportunity to compete against the defending AFC champions that knocked you out last season with the opportunity to do the exact same thing to them. It's a tough challenge, no doubt about it, but one that should be welcomed. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of this matchup. The Buffalo Bills are on the road in the divisional round of the playoffs for a date with the Kansas City Chiefs. The game will be played on Sunday, January 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. The game will be broadcasted on CBS. Jim Nance is on the play-by-play. Tony Romo is the game analyst, and Tracy Wolfson is the sideline reporter. The Bills and Chiefs have played 51 times previously, and the Bills have a 27-23-1 all-time record against the Chiefs. As you know, the last time these two teams played was in Week 5, a 38-20 win for the Buffalo Bills in Kansas City. Let's quickly revisit that game and talk about some of the big storylines that led to a Bills 18-point road win over Kansas City. And let's first keep in mind, though, that these teams are very different today than they were in Week 5. So in that football game, defensively, the Bills forced three turnovers. Two of them were critical. Micah Hyde had a pick six, and Greg Rousseau had the interception in the red zone when Kansas City was threatening to score a touchdown. So two monumental swings there with timely turnovers. The Bills held Kansas City to 5 of 13 on third and fourth downs. That's not common. They're a very good third down offense. The Chiefs only had one completion over 20 yards. Matt Milano didn't play in that football game. The Bills didn't blitz Patrick Mahomes a single time in over 60 dropbacks. And we'll talk more about Mahomes against the blitz in just a moment, but that was a key part of that defensive game plan. In fact, Mahomes only had 272 passing yards on 54 attempts. Tyreek Hill was limited to just 7 catches on 13 targets for 63 yards. And 7 catches is good, 63 yards is good, but on 13 targets and you're a player like Tyreek Hill, I think the Bills will sign up for that every time. Same thing with Travis Kelce, 6 catches on 10 targets for 57 yards. That's a good job managing their top offensive weapons and two of the best offensive weapons in the entire NFL. Offensively for the Bills in that game, it was all about the big plays. Josh Allen was 15 of 26 for 315 yards and 3 touchdown passes, and that's a ridiculous 21 yards per completion. Josh was hitting throws down the field in that game in a big way. Josh also led the team in rushing with 59 yards and a touchdown. Dawson Knox had 3 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown, and overall the offense just gashed Kansas City to the tune of 8.1 yards per play. Josh Allen wasn't sacked. He was only hit once. And for all the success that the Bills had offensively in that game, there was still some issues with sustaining drives. In fact, they punted on 3 consecutive drives to start the second quarter. And they had some issues overall sustaining drives in that football game. They were aided by hitting some big-time plays down the field. So that's just a little recap of that game and some of the big high-level talking points. And again, these are very different teams today than they were back in Week 5. Real quick on the weather, as of 1 o'clock Eastern Time on January 18th, when I record this podcast, the weather report for Sunday, courtesy of weather.com, is calling for temperatures in the high 20s, winds that are 5 to 10 miles per hour and no precipitation. So for a Sunday night in Kansas City, that's pretty much the best you can ask for. Let's talk about this quarterback that they have, Patrick Mahomes, 26 years old, 6'3", 227 pounds, was the number 10 overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft. He had a good season, not his best season, but he had a really good season. Mahomes completed 66.3% of his passes, 285 passing yards per game, 37 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and a passer rating of 98.5. Now let's dig into some of his metrics. And what's different about these metrics today compared to what I normally give you when I break down the opposing quarterback is that these are only going to include the last six games and the playoffs. I just feel like there is so much that happens throughout the course of a season that factoring in metrics from weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they just don't matter based on how the season has evolved and what these players are doing right now. So all of these metrics I'm going to provide include all 27 NFL quarterbacks to attempt at least 85 passes since week 14. So the last six games of the regular season and the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes' average time to throw is 2.92 seconds. That is 26th in the NFL. So Patrick Mahomes, he gets the ball out quick sometimes, but he still is that off-script type player that likes to extend plays and push the ball down the field. Now, when Mahomes gets the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, which is 45% of the time, he's completing 82% of those passes. That's tops in the NFL. 7.4 yards per attempt and a passer rating of 120.6. That's third best in the NFL. So they are getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and when they do, you can see that they're having a lot of success. Now, when Mahomes holds onto the football for over 2.5 seconds, which is 55% of the time, he completes 61.1% of his passes, which is pretty low. That's 27th in the NFL. 9.6 yards per attempt, but a passer rating of 114 on the dot, and that's third best in the NFL. So whether he gets the ball out quick or he holds onto the ball for a little bit, he's having a lot of success. Now, what's very different about these splits over the last six games compared to earlier in the season is Patrick Mahomes wasn't having the same type of success that we've normally seen from him when he holds onto the ball for over 2.5 seconds and works off script. That has really evened out. And so Mahomes has really found himself a lot better late than he did earlier in the season. I thought this one is interesting. Patrick Mahomes' average depth of target is 6.8, which is 27th in the NFL. That is dead last in this sample size since week 14. So the deep shots really haven't been there with the same level of frequency that you would expect from Patrick Mahomes. Only 10% of his passes are aimed 20 yards or more down the field, which is 20th in the NFL. Now, when he throws the ball down the field, he has a lot of success. A completion percentage of 59.1, that is fourth in the NFL, and 143 passer rating on deep attempts, which is also fourth in the NFL. So for some reason, that frequency has come down, but when they throw the ball down the field, Mahomes is still making a lot of explosive plays with his arm. When it comes to play action, that happens on 24.8% of Mahomes' dropbacks. That's 17th in the NFL. And when it comes to his splits with and without play action, there's really nothing significant that stands out. He's good with play action. He's good without play action. This is another number that really jumps out to me. 14.2% of Patrick Mahomes' passing attempts are screen plays. That's the second highest frequency in the NFL. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, but a big narrative with this Chiefs offense early on when they weren't quite as successful as we've seen from them in the past is that teams were giving them this too high safety look and really flooding the coverage with defenders and playing two deep safeties. And Kansas City kind of struggled to run the football to get teams out of that And their response to the two high safety looks has been the quick passing game and the screen game. And I think that number gives evidence to exactly what I'm talking about. 14.2% of his passes are screens, the second highest percentage in the NFL. Now let's talk pressure splits with Patrick Mahomes. This is absolutely critical. When Patrick Mahomes is kept clean, he completes 81% of his passes, 8.9 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 128.6. That is number one in terms of completion percentage and passer rating when he's kept clean. You don't get pressure on this guy, he's going to pick you apart. Now, when he's under pressure, he completes 41.2% of his passes, 7.1 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 79. So his completion percentage when under pressure compared to kept clean falls 40%. His passer rating drops 49.6 points, nearly 50 points in passer rating. And he loses nearly 2 yards per attempt, 1.8 yards per attempt. So if you want to make Patrick Mahomes a worse quarterback, you have to get pressure on this guy. Now, here's the thing, and we've talked about this several times. You can't get pressure on Patrick Mahomes by blitzing him. He destroys the blitz. And like I just said, the Bills did not blitz him a single time in Week 5. Over 60 dropbacks, zero blitzes from the Bills defense because they understand it is pointless to blitz this quarterback. When you blitz Mahomes, he completes 78.3% of those passes, 10.5 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 137.8. It is pointless to blitz this man, but it is critical. And I mean critical that you are able to get pressure on him with four rushers. Like I said, his completion percentage dips 40% when he's pressured, passer rating dips 50 points, and he loses 2 yards per attempt. Organic pressure, and when I say organic pressure, I mean with four rushers, is critical to slowing down Patrick Mahomes. You have to get pressure on him without blitzing. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar, and they make it easy for you to stick to your resolution because Built Bars taste so good, you'll want to eat it. And when you have those cravings for chocolate, Built Bars deliver because they're covered in 100% chocolate. It helps you stick to your eating healthy plan for the New Year's. Check out these nutrition facts. Like I said, covered in 100% real chocolate. But most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And they have so many great flavors. You'll have a hard time choosing. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors, so make sure you check out Built.com often to see what's new. And of course, I have a deal for you. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's take a look at this Chiefs offense beyond Patrick Mahomes. And they had a great year offensively. In 2021, they averaged 28.2 points per game. That's fourth in the NFL. They're the number one third down offense, 52.2% conversion rate on third downs. They score a touchdown on 60.3% of their red zone trips. That's 14th. 397 total yards per game. That is third. 115 rushing yards per game. That is 16th. And 281 passing yards per game, which is fourth. Now, when it comes to their weapons, they have really done a good job over the last 6 weeks of spreading the football around. It's not just Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. It's mostly them, but they're getting more players involved. Let's take a look at the target distribution over the last 6 weeks, including the playoffs. Travis Kelce has 32 targets. Tyreek Hill has 31. Byron Pringle, a wide receiver, he has 30. And Mecole Hardman has 24. So it's pretty tight. There's not a whole lot separating Travis Kelce from Mecole Hardman when it comes to target distribution. Patrick Mahomes and this offense, they're getting more players involved. And that doesn't even include guys like DeMarcus Robinson or Josh Gordon or the running backs. They like to throw the ball to Darrell Williams, and they recently started to throw the football to Jerick McKinnon. And so they are a lot deeper than a lot of people think when it comes to their offensive weapons, because they've been a lot more deliberate about getting the football spread around, especially to Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, and these running backs. So you guys know what these guys present. Travis Kelce might be the best tight end in the game. Tyreek Hill is ridiculous in terms of his speed and ability to win down the field. Byron Pringle is discount Tyreek Hill in a lot of ways. And then Mecole Hardman is unbelievably explosive, and they like to get the ball in his hands quick and allow him to create after the catch. Now, when it comes to their running backs, they're working four of these guys on a regular basis. You'll see Darrell Williams, Derek Gore, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and recently Jerick McKinnon. They get all these guys going. And McKinnon was a big-time factor in their win last week over Pittsburgh. He had 12 rushes for 61 yards. He had 6 catches for 81 yards. I mean, that's a lot of production for a guy that has been basically a non-factor all year. And so I think he's given this team a little bit of a spark on offense, and I'm sure they're going to want to keep going to him. So you have to be mindful of all these different running backs that they like to work in, and they'll throw it to all of them as well. Now, a big part of this Chiefs passing game is yards after catch. This season, they are averaging 6.1 yards after catch per reception, which is third highest in the NFL. Like I said earlier, their answer to beat two high safeties has been the screen game and quick passes. And so they use those things as an extension of the run game. And so you have to be mindful of not just their ability to push the ball vertically and challenge the middle of the field with a guy like Travis Kelce, but it's the yards after catch dynamic in the quick passing game and in the screen game that you also have to account for. Let's look at this offensive line. It's a really good group. They rebuilt this offensive line, and it is terrific. Their left tackle is Orlando Brown. He's been a lot better in the second half of the season compared to some of the struggles he had early on. Their left guard is Joe Tooney, one of the best offensive linemen in the game. Their center is Creed Humphrey. He's a rookie. He's been one of the best centers in the NFL this year. He's been unbelievable. Their right guard is Trey Smith, a rookie as well. He's been outstanding this year. And then at right tackle, it's been Andrew Wiley. And if there's a spot that you look at and say, well, there's your weak link, it's that right tackle, Andrew Wiley, but he's been in the league for a while. And the other parts of this offensive line are really, really good. And so collectively, it's a good unit with a great quarterback and dynamic playmakers at receiver and tight end. This offense is legit. They're number one in plays per drive. They're number one in yards per drive. And they're number one in points per drive. And so the Bills' number one ranked defense has a really tough assignment ahead of them. Now, you like how you fared in week 5 without Matt Milano, but you also had Trey White back in that game. And this is the type of game where I feel like we're going to feel the loss of Trey White in ways that we haven't to this point. And so it's going to be a tough, tough assignment for an elite Bills defense against an exceptional Chiefs offense. So what are my keys for the Bills defense against this offense? Number one, pressure with four. We've talked about this. You have to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes with four rushers. The Bills defensive line has to show up in this game. They have to show up. They have to make a difference. And part of that is creating pressure on Patrick Mahomes, but it's also doing so in such a way that contains him in the pocket. Patrick Mahomes will drift backwards, and that's what you want. You don't want this guy getting outside the tackles. You don't want him escaping to his right. He is lethal when he does that, just like Josh Allen. And so whoever is playing left defensive end on any given snap has to do an exceptional job of staying in their rush lane and containing Patrick Mahomes within the pocket. So number one is pressure with four. Number two goes hand in hand with number one. Space the field with seven and stay disciplined. You have got to space the field effectively against Patrick Mahomes and understand the ways that he likes to manipulate your coverage with how he moves within the pocket and what he does with his eyes. So you know what the leverage of your defense is designed to do. Stay disciplined. You have to have good eyes. You have to trust your landmarks, and you have to trust the scheme. This is one of those weeks where you have to fully embrace the 1/11th mentality. Do your 1/11th, and you're going to take away a lot from them if you can stay disciplined and not unnecessarily come off your coverage landmarks and lose the leverage of the defense and how you want to space the field. Number three is tackle. It's such a basic thing to say, but it's critical. The screens are coming. The quick passes are coming. Tackle. Get these guys on the ground, limit their yards after catch, and force them to stack play after play after play against your defense. Number four, hunt the football. The Chiefs will turn it over. They have the third most fumbles this year. They have the ninth most giveaways, and 13.7% of their drives end in a turnover, which is the fifth highest rate in the NFL. This team has shown a propensity to turn over the football this year. Now, to their credit, it has improved drastically. In their first 11 games of the season, they turned it over 22 times. In the last six of the regular season, they only turned it over three times. So they got that corrected, but they did turn it over twice against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But all in all, this has been a turnover-prone football team. Hunt the football and take it away when you have the opportunity. Lastly, number five, red zone defense. The Chiefs are going to get yards. They're going to make some plays. But they have been pretty average when it comes to finishing drives with a touchdown. Like I said already, their red zone touchdown percentage is 60.3, which is 14th in the NFL, middle of the pack. And so this is an important game to force field goals. Make them settle for three instead of getting seven. Tighten the screws in the red zone. Understand they're going to make some plays, but limit their opportunities to score touchdowns when they get into the red zone and be disciplined and force them to settle for field goals and not score touchdowns. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and they have a newly updated website, so sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get that started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline is where the game starts. Let's talk about this Chiefs defense against the Bills offense. The Chiefs defense in 2021 had some struggles. They allowed 21.4 points per game, that is eighth in the NFL. They recorded 31 sacks, which is 29th. 369 total yards per game is what they allowed on average, which is 27th. They allow 118 rushing yards per game, which is 21st. And 282 passing yards per game, which is 27th. Like I said, defense has been an issue for them this year. It got better around week eight, but overall it's been a below average unit. Now, let's talk about the personnel. On the interior defensive line, you'll see Jerron Reed, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, and Tershawn Wharton. Collectively, that's a pretty good group. You guys know that Chris Jones is a difference maker, and Jerron Reed and Derek Nnadi are two really nice players alongside him. At the edge, they have Frank Clark, Melvin Ingram, Alex Okafor, and Michael Dana. Now, Frank Clark has been pretty inconsistent, but he's a potent player. But Melvin Ingram has been a really nice addition for them. You guys saw him with the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one and what he was able to do to the Bills' offense. Well, they gave him away for a bag of peanuts, and now he's on this Chiefs team, and he's playing well. And I think they have good depth in Okafor and Dana. Now, their pass rush has not really been that good this year. They're not really getting a ton of sacks or a ton of pressure. But I know that this is a very potent group. And so the Bills' offensive line will need to continue playing like it has over the last several weeks. At linebacker, they're playing a ton of guys. Nick Bolton, who's a rookie out of Missouri, a second-round pick. Anthony Hitchens, Willie Gay, and Ben Nieman. Nick Bolton has really been a big reason why this defense has played better down the stretch. He's a really good downhill football player. Quick trigger, physical, and he's got this low center of gravity, and he hits like a ton of bricks. And so, should be some nice collisions between him and Devin Singletary when Devin is challenging between the tackles. So they'll play a lot of these different guys, but Nick Bolton has been really the player to ignite this defense in a lot of ways. At corner, their outside guys are Tre'Davious Ward and Mike Hughes. Their slot player is Lajarius Sneed. It's been a group that's played fairly well at times. Mike Hughes, a former first-round pick of the Vikings, he has come over and played well. And then Sneed is a good slot, and Ward has played well on the outside at times. And so they're an opportunistic group. They're going to play man coverage. They're going to be physical. We know that. And so you know what you have to do if you're this Bills offense. You have to be aggressive to establish your leverage and run away from these guys. Then at safety, it's Juan Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu. Two really good safeties. Mathieu is a guy that they'll play as a middle-of-the-field type defender. They'll roll him down in man coverage at times. They'll play him in split zones. Good player. And then Juan Thornhill is a really rangy guy that I like a ton. I think he's a good one-high safety. You can have him play halves. I think he's got some man coverage upside as well. So I like their safety tandem. And they've been reluctant to play Thornhill at times, which doesn't really make sense for me. But as he's gained more playing time, along with Nick Bolton, and along with Chris Jones going back inside, you know, they started him out at defensive end, as well as the addition of Melvin Ingram. Those four things have been why this Chiefs defense has had a resurgence over the second half of the season. So what are my keys for the Bills' offense against this defense? Number one, run the football. Run it against these guys. It's really important in the postseason to be able to run it. The Bills weren't able to do that last year in the playoffs against Kansas City. Your run game has shown plenty of life this year, especially down the stretch, especially with Devin Singletary. Continue to work that into your game plan. Number two, run it with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's ability to run should be a major factor in this football game. And the Chiefs haven't really played a ton of running quarterbacks this year. In fact, the last running quarterback that they played was Josh Allen in week five. Now, before they faced Allen in week five, they did play against Lamar Jackson, who had 16 rushes, 107 yards, and two touchdowns. They played Jalen Hurts, who had 8 rushes for 47 yards, and then actually threw the football really well, 387 yards and two touchdowns. And then, of course, Josh Allen, who had 11 rushes for 59 yards and a touchdown. So they haven't really had to deal with mobile quarterbacks this year. They haven't in a long time. And Josh Allen's legs and ability to not only win from a scramble perspective, but on design runs, that's a challenge they haven't seen in a long time. And so I would definitely get Josh Allen going with some carries in this football game. Number three is continue to get everyone involved to put maximum stress on a defense that has holes. So you're able to run the football, do it. You're able to throw the football, do it. You're able to throw the football to a number of receivers, and a tight end in Dawson Knox, and get the running backs going in the passing game. Do it all. Your quarterback, Josh Allen, can put maximum stress on a defense alone because of his skill set. And now you have this full complement of weapons and a run game. Use it all. And then number four, I just have written down Josh Allen. Josh Allen. Just let Josh Allen be Josh Allen. He's your best player. He's one of the best players in the NFL. He's coming off of one of the best performances in NFL history at the quarterback position. Ride it. And I don't doubt that that will be the case, but there is no tomorrow. You ride or die with Josh Allen. Let him be the catalyst for everything you do on offense. Real quick on the special teams, they're really good at covering kicks and punts. Their metrics are very, very comparable to the Buffalo Bills when it comes to covering kicks and punts. Their kick returner is a combination of Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman. They're both very good. Their punt returner is Mecole Hardman, who is absolutely dynamic in terms of his speed and explosiveness. They have a solid punter in Tommy Townsend and one of the best kickers in the league in Harrison Butker. This is going to be a fun football game. Probably more so for fans of teams that aren't the Chiefs or Bills. But this is what you want. I mean, you have two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL going head-to-head. You have a rematch of the AFC Championship game. The Bills beat them in Week 5 in their place by 18 points. You have the best defense in the league in Buffalo against one of the most explosive offenses in the league in Kansas City. Oh, by the way, the Bills' offense is arguably just as good as the Chiefs. This is going to be one heck of a football game. And so hopefully after our conversation today, you feel ready for it. And we'll continue getting you ready tomorrow with our crossover discussion. I'll be joined by the guys over at Locked On Chiefs to get their perspective on this game and, you know, share mine as well regarding the questions that they'll ask me. So that should be a fun conversation, especially since the last time we spoke was Week 5 and the Bills beat them. So you have that to look forward to tomorrow. We'll have our typical Friday routine. So make sure that you're subscribed, rate, review, share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.